Together. Father, thank you for the privilege accorded us to mention your name, to speak your name, the privilege to be called part of your family. Lord, what an honor. Thank you for your mercies. Thank you for the grace of access. How awesome you are. How loving and caring you are. You are the Ancient of Days. We ask, O God, that you reign supremely in our lives and in our community, in our world. Blessed be your holy name, Father. Thank you for our elder brother, our Savior, our Redeemer, our Champion, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for all things. Thank you for loving us with an everlasting love. Thank you for accepting us. Thank you. We give you praise for all things, Most High. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Bless you all. Thank God for everyone that is here present. This day is a special day. It is the beginning of a feast that is not in our canon of scriptures. That's a compilation of 66 books that we have in the Bible. But a day that we as believers should celebrate. We should celebrate it because it was the proof that God is God and that God works with his people, even when it seems like he's not there. For well over 200 years, between the book of Malachi and the book of Matthew, there were no prophets. And it seemed like God was silent. It seemed like God had just gone on a vacation somewhere, and nobody heard from God. And the people were overrun by liberal thinking, Hellenistic. Hellenistic thinking was a mindset of idolatry that was pushed by a Greek Syrian culture. They worshipped idols. And they were very liberal in their ways of thinking. There's much to this story, but it started way back with Syrian king called Antiochus and the generations following him. Antiochus had defeated the Egyptians and had annexed Israel. And he did well. When first all started, they were very tolerant and accepting of Jewish culture. But then came other kings that were not that kind. One was called Epiphanes. And he was basically a madman. He was very hard on Jews and forcing them to do things that they will not do. They watered down the culture with this Hellenistic thinking. But God always has a remnant. He's always had remnants. People who will refuse to dance or march by the beat of other people's drumming. Who will say, no, we're not going that way. Even though we are not hearing from God now, we've heard from God before. And we have a track record of right living, and we are not going to go that way. And they stood against the actions and the temptation to do wrong, to eat non-kosher food like pork. In fact, one of the priests that was resisting this move was brought in the public place, and they said, okay, eat the pork. He says, no, I'm not. And said, okay, all right, we're not going to make you eat it. Just pretend that you are eating. Just take the meat and put it towards your mouth so that people can see. And said, I'm not going to do that either. He gets killed. The temple is ransacked in Jerusalem. The resources are taken off because of a traitor who goes and tells these wicked kings, hey, listen, I know you've been taxing the people so much for so long, and but there's a place that you've not checked on. You know, every year we go to that temple, we give half a shekel, and it's kept in the temple. And then we have funds for orphans. That's kept in the temple. See, you have all that kind of money in there? Yes. So they go and they raid the temple because of an inside job. Somebody who is a Jew sold out. Today, there are people who have sold out and attack those that are living and choosing to live for God, and think of them as extremists. Think of them as people that don't care about the people. If you really care about the people, you will compromise. So they go and they strip the temple, they take the menorah, they take everything. One day, they came, oppressing, killing. And there were individuals that stood up and said, no, we've had enough of this. We've had enough of this. And they rose up. They attacked the army or the battalion that the king had sent. They wiped them out. And they started practicing what they call guerrilla warfare. And they won, and they won, and they won, and they won. And you're thinking, why are you telling us this story about Hanukkah? It's not in the Bible. There's a reason. Finally, a great army was sent to fight against them. I said, well, we may be a handful, but we are not going to sell our souls, and we are not going to bow. to this liberal thinking, this worldly carnal mindset. We dedicate ourselves to the Most High. And they resisted this 40,000 plus army that was sent to fight them, a handful, just a few hundred. And they won. Oh, would you believe it? They won. This is going on for years. And they said, you know what? Let's go to the temple. That's our focal point. So they go to the temple. And they went into the temple looking for the menorah, looking for something. They found oil that was not pressed, but beaten, because only beaten olive oil was to be used in the menorah. And they found one that will light for one day. Some say that they found the old menorah that was hidden somewhere. Some historians say it was a newly built one. They built something, they put something together. I rely more on they built a new one. And they started, put the oil in there. They started at the same time to beat some olives to create the oil that they needed. I want you to take note of that. They started using what they had, but at the same time, they started working to produce the oil that they needed. Let me say that again. They started using what they had, but they started preparing for what they needed. It was going to take 8 days to produce that one. But they decided to use what they had. Too many times, we look at what we have and we say, it's not good enough. But that's not how God thinks. In John, the Gospel of John chapter 6, Jesus had only 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He had 5,000 hungry men to feed, not counting the women or the children. And he goes and he begins what he needed to do, feed the people. Took what he had. And the net result was that he fed everybody. Everybody's needs were met. That same miracle now happens with this oil. Because the oil that was supposed to last for one day lasted for 8 days. Now, this particular menorah was different from the original one, because the original one had 7 leaves. And we have one that we were using here for the longest time, but we decided to set it aside for a moment. But I'm sure we'll bring it back at the right time by direction of the Lord. This one was different because there was one that was in the center that was the servant lighter. This one lit every other candle. Are you with me so far? Now, in John 8, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Jesus is the servant lighter that lights everyone. John 1 says that he is the light that lit everyone that comes into the world. Are you still wondering why I'm talking about Hanukkah? Because Hanukkah, without words, with the silence, is all talking about the Messiah, the servant king who lights everyone who comes into the world. Why eight? Well, because eight is a number of new beginnings. God beginning, restarting, restoring, bringing us to a new place. Well, ultimately, there's nine. But why nine? Because nine is the number for fruitfulness. God speaking a new language to us and saying, I'm giving you a new start, but this new start is going to bring fruitfulness into your life. Somebody listening. So the Bible tells us in the Gospel of John, the 10th chapter, starting to read from the 22nd verse about Hanukkah. See, the Feast of Hanukkah in the New Testament is called the Feast of the Dedication. And Jesus attended it. Jesus went to Hanukkah. Well, the Hanukkah is about the Maccabees. No, it's about dedication. It's about living a dedicated life, refusing to compromise yourself. He says it was at Jerusalem, the Feast of the Dedication, and it was winter. They were asking Jesus, are you the guy? Are you the one that we should be looking for? And you expect the Lord to just pour everything out. The Bible says, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. That's interesting. Solomon's porch. Solomon's porch. This is a contradiction. A porch named after Solomon. But who's Solomon? Solomon is supposed to be the Mr. Wise guy. But Solomon is the son of David and Bathsheba. Bathsheba is the wife of Uriah. Uriah is the king, is the guy that David killed so that he can get Bathsheba. But David is supposed to be dedicated. But the Bible says at the time when kings were supposed to be at war, David stayed home. In other words, he was not dedicated to his assignment. He allowed himself to compromise because of the words and the counsel and the advice that was given to him. It sounded good, but the Bible says at the time when kings were to be at war, he was not at the right place. And because he was not at the right place, because he lost his sense of dedication, he lost out to sin. When we are not dedicated, we expose ourselves to a compromised place where sin can come into our lives and destroy us.
So Solomon is born. The first child that Bathsheba and David had died. David cried and prayed and did everything to see if he can keep this child alive. But the child died, and David dusted himself off and he said, "Wait a minute. When the child was sick and still alive, you were so driven and you were crying and you were praying. Now the child is dead and you stand up and you're celebrating?" The guy says, "What am I going to do about that? He's dead. But God is still God. I join God's side." A flip. Now, from those two, Solomon is born. And God decides that Solomon, a child that is born out of a bad situation, is going to be the king. How does that make any sense? The sense it makes is that God is dedicated. God says, "David, I'm dedicated to you. I make you a promise. You're going to always have a child on the throne. I'm going to pick the one that is most unlikely, and I'm going to do something great out of this one." Wow. God, you will do that? Yes. Why would you do that? "Because I'm a God who says I will never leave you nor forsake you." What? "I will stick to you and I will help you. I believe in making commitments and sticking with it." A person who lays his hand on the plow and looks back, it's not worthy of my kingdom. I only work with people who stick with it. Wow. So yeah, Jesus walks into the temple that's called Solomon's porch. Jesus answered them, as he comes there, they say to him, "How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly, come on." "Well, I've shown it to you. You ate bread. I've shown it to you. I declare that I'm the light, that I and the Father are one. What do you want from me?" Jesus answered them, "I told you and you believed not. I've been telling you, I'm the Christ. Come on. How many which ways should I tell you? I've proven it to you. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Don't you see?" Keep on asking me this crazy question, when the point is that you need to be dedicated. How many times do you need to hear the same thing over and over and over again? You choose not to believe. You choose not to be dedicated. "But you believe not because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you." If you belong to me, come on. I don't need to prove anything to you. You just connect. Look at the Maccabees. Look at Mattathias. What did he hear from God? He heard nothing. There are no prophets that came and said, "Thus saith the Lord." No, he held on to what he knew to be true, and he continued with that. Too many times you want to hear a new word. Tell me something new. Tell me something new. Really, how many new things are you going to hear before you just simply believe what you've heard and just continue with my word? God declared to us that this is the month of prophetic fulfillment. And all you and I need to do is embrace that word and say, God, this is my season, this is my time, this is my now. And Lord God Almighty, I am committed to following you and doing your will all of my days. I think, in real terms, that the experience that we went through this last few years with COVID before COVID came, we were forewarned. God did not give me the word COVID-19, or I would have mentioned it. But he did say, that there was a squeezing coming. And I illustrated it by talking to us about a tube of toothpaste. When it is squeezed, what's inside comes out. If it is aqua fresh, you will see aqua fresh with all the stripes. Close up with its red color, you will see it. Colgate, Sensodyne, whatever it's inside, you're not going to press that tube when it has Sensodyne on the outside packaging and Colgate come out from inside. God was warning us, he says, squeezing is coming because what's on the inside of you is going to show up. And sure, the squeezing came. And as I stand here and speak to you, there are so many, upwards of 60% of people that used to be in church steadily, sitting in-house, that with COVID did not come back to the church. The squeeze came on, and the fakeness of their commitment showed up. You should be celebrate the fact that you are in the house of the Lord, that you came through the squeeze and you're still in the house of the Lord. Amen? Praise the Lord. There are many that were committed in their giving and are no longer committed to their giving, to the purposes of God. They've gone astray. They've gone and they're doing their own thing. There are people through the experience that have embraced the lies of the enemy and not embraced the truth of the Word of God. Now, they might have all kinds of reasons. Where was the church? Where was this? And where was that? And where was this? God did not call you to people. God called you to himself. People live wishy-washy lives. One day they are up and the other day they are down. One day they say one thing and the other day they act something different. People reduce the livable truth of God to a livable lie. And they say, well, it's a new day. These are new times. This is a new normal and all kinds of crazy ideas crash into the minds of people, and they live a lie, undedicated, uncommitted. They don't pursue the things of God with all of their hearts. But the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 2, think somewhere starting around verse 20, 22. Was it 25? Luke 2 and 25. Yes. Jesus is born. And he's going to be dedicated to God. And verse 25 says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout." You can replace that word devout with the word dedication or dedicated. "Waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost," "the Holy Ghost was upon him." Wow. Jesus is just 8 days old. But this man has been around for years. And he's just. He's a devout man. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. "And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." So this man keeps on living. He's dedicated. And he shows up in the temple. If he's going to see this Christ, the fact is, at some point, this child that is born is going to be brought into that temple. I may not be in his house, but I can be where he's going to be. So he comes to the temple every day. He's there. Talk about dedication. I don't know where it's going to happen, but I'm going to be where it's going to happen. "And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God." Jesus is in the temple. He walks by the leading of the Holy Spirit because he's a just, devout, dedicated man. He's right there when the action is taking place. And he takes a hold of the baby Jesus. He's not the priest. He's not the rabbi. He's not one of those who is leading. He's just an ordinary, dedicated man that the Holy Ghost was upon. Grabs Jesus. And hear his statement. "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace." Oh, I've been waiting for this for a long time. But man, I want to go. Thank you very much, Jesus, that you came finally. Now let me die. What kind of prayer is this? Oh, he's had it. With all these crazy people that are wishy-washy. Now the Christ is here. My job is done. Let me go, please. Come on. "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light." See it? A light. to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. The glory of thy people Israel. He's finally here. Thank you that I got to see this. Huh. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. How does this guy know this? And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Watch that. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. How do I say this? Sometimes things happen just to reveal what's in your heart. While I was away, something happened, and I had received word about it. It was not good news. But what surprised me was the statement of the Lord. The Lord said, this has happened, and there are some that are celebrating that it happened. I said, what? How can anybody celebrate that this happened? He said, yes. Some celebrate that it happened. They think it is their opportunity. Mary, a sword is going to pierce your heart, but it's going to reveal the thoughts of many hearts. The next verse talks about another individual dedicated. Simeon dedicated. But there is one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age. She was an old woman and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84. That's 84. But watch the next statement. Which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Dedication. Night and day, this woman is in the temple. She's 84 years old. She won't leave. Why is she there? The word of God says, and she coming in that instant, when Simeon was there, pronouncing the prophetic declaration over the life of Jesus. and blessing Joseph and Mary. Give thanks likewise unto the Lord, and speak of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Amazing. Anna was there, dedicated. The question that I need to ask us is this one. How dedicated are you? And is your dedication based on all that you, the amazing things that you see, or your commitment to the simple word of the instruction of the Lord? For Simeon, it was, you're not going to die until you see the Christ. That was enough. Okay? If the Messiah is coming, I'm going to be there, committed. I'm going to follow through. How many words do you need to be committed? How many words do you need to know where you're supposed to be? Well, if the pastor preaches this kind of a message, I will know this is my church. This is where I'm supposed to be. So you hear that message? Okay. That sounded good. But if so we are at 20, but you've not made any commitment. You attend, but no commitment. No follow through. We need more words and more words and more demonstration and more demonstration. If you're looking for more and more words before you commit yourself to the purposes of God, you may never be committed. Yes, the word of God tests the spirits and see if it is of God. When you hear the word of God, work with what you've got. When God places faith in you, work with what you've got. He never shows you everything at the same time. The word of God says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. He didn't say it's a floodlight. This is a lamp. If you want to see more, keep on moving. And you see more. Anna was there. What else does the Bible say about Anna? She talks about the redemption that was now made possible. Put a verse up for me, please. In Luke chapter 2. Verse 39. It says, and when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned unto Galilee, to their own city, Nazareth. Where did they come from? They came to Nazareth. From Nazareth, rather. And they went to Bethlehem. Now, this is interesting because it seems to me that there is some confusion, and you say, what confusion? Well, we know that when the Magi came, they came to see him in a house. Was the house in Bethlehem or in Nazareth? And when they left and they went to Egypt, did they leave from Bethlehem or did they leave from Nazareth? Why is the word of God talking about they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth? We're talking about the dedication. Who is going back to Nazareth? Jesus, Mary, and Joseph? Or was it Simeon and Anna? The Bible says, and when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the question that I just asked is a very, very valid question. The remarkable thing about it is the Word of God is saying to us in that passage without telling us who exactly, because we can apply any of that statement to all of those characters. We can apply to Simeon, we can apply to Anna, we can apply to Mary and Joseph and Jesus. But we also know that when the Magi came, they did not go to Nazareth, they came to Bethlehem. Because they went to Herod's palace, thinking that's where the child was to be born. And they find out they were wrong, because the child was to be born in Bethlehem, Ephratah. And they go there and they find him in a house. So the house was in Bethlehem, not in Nazareth. So who went to Nazareth? The scriptures are not confused. But this is the message. The message is this, that God will always bring you to where you started from. They started this journey in Nazareth, and God brings you back to your Nazareth. Every one of us will be brought full circle. Whether that be a Simeon or an Anna, God is going to bring you full circle, because he is going to propel you from where he started you from. We forget those things which are behind and press forward to where we are going to. But God will always start you from where he got you. God will remind me of where he called me from. September 5th of 1976. So God will say, I'm the God of Abraham. I'm the God of Isaac. I'm the God of Jacob. That's where I started you from. I'm going to bring you full circle to remind you that I who gave the promise, I'm a promise keeper. And I end this evening reminding you that when we have done everything we are going to do, we are going to return to our Nazareth. So where's that Nazareth? Well, that Nazareth is the place where you came from. Where is that place that you came from? You came from God. Now hear this. You came from whom? God. And if you are committed, dedicated, doing what God has called you to do, you will return full circle back to the God that you came from. Capish? All right. That is it. So where are you going to return back to? Do you have a place to return back to? If you're going to return anywhere, it's going to be because you are dedicated. So tonight, before we leave this place, I want to ask a very simple question. What's your dedication quotient? Where does your dedication to God rank? Where is it? And where should it be? Because the story of Hanukkah, which starts today and ends Boxing Day on the 26th, representing new beginnings, remember? 8 new beginnings. But new beginnings, because you've been lit by that number of fruitfulness, of revelation, of manifestation. 9 is all of those numbers. When things are revealed about you, what shall be revealed? For proper things to be revealed about you and I, we must be dedicated. Jesus went to the Feast of Dedication, and the question that they were asking him is, how long are you going to keep us doubting? And he says, you have no reason to doubt. I've been telling you all from the beginning who I am, but you choose not to believe. And the reason you don't believe is because you're none of mine. Because if you're really mine, you will believe what I've said to you so far. The question is this. How dedicated are you? And why are you dedicated? Do you really believe in the Christ? Because being in church does not make you a Christian, just like being born at a GM manufacturing auto building hub does not make you a GM vehicle. Who are you? What do you believe? If we squeezed you right now, what's going to come out? You know, you squeeze some people, F-bombs will come out of their mouth because that's what's on the inside. They will swear everything. You squeeze some people, they will shout Jesus because that's what's on the inside. What's on the inside of you? we squeeze you today, will we find dedication? Or will we find wishy-washiness? What? Will we find Christ? Or will we find worldliness? Now there's a way to fix that. We can come to the Lord and say, God, cleanse me. Cleanse me. Take everything that does not belong to you out of my life and fill me with all that you are. I trust in you. Make me a new creation. Let old things be passed away and let all things now become new. We can make that deliberate decision and God will start us afresh. He is committed to dedication. He did it with David through Solomon because he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He can do it with every one of us here today. So if you hear this evening and you say, you know, Pastor, I think I need to dedicate my life to God, to be a man, a woman that is devout, committed to truth. I need God to do a new work in my life. I need Him to be like that servant candle to light me so I can reflect the glory of God. I need you to pray with me that on this, the 18th day of December, the beginning of Hanukkah, that my life will be a life of dedication, not compromise. I don't want to compromise anymore. I want to live righteously. It's one thing to live one kind of life right here. It's another thing to live another kind of life at home. Some people live their lives where other people are, and it's just peachy, just amazing. Until they step out of these doors and they're wild maniacs doing crazy things, saying crazy things, acting crazy, like they're possessed with something else. But in church, oh my, what a wonderful lamb out there. What an amazing wolf. We've got to make a choice. While all heads are bowed, I want us to pray. If today you cannot affirm that you are truly committed to the things of God, what you want to, you want to step into this new year that we're about to step into in just a few days. Say, you know what? I'm not going to start 2023 uncommitted, undedicated, surrender to the Lord. I want to live a new life. Pastor, I need you to pray with me because I'm making that decision right now. I'm not going to be wishy-washy, living a double life. I want to live my life to glorify God. I want to be where He is, engaged. Pray with me. And raise your right hand while all heads are bowed. I want this to be a very private time for everybody.
I see that hand, I see that hand, I see that hand, I see that hand, I see that hand. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You can put your hands down. I want everyone to repeat after me these words. Father God, I give you my life just as it is right now. And I'm asking for your help, because without you I can do nothing. Lord Jesus, help me to live a dedicated, surrendered life to your Lordship. Help me to be a person of integrity, of honor, a person that is totally sold out to your will and your purpose. I want to be involved in the action. I want to be there, just like Simeon and Anna were. I want to be right there, in beat and in sync with you, as the Maccabees were dedicated. Lord, I want to be a dedicated warrior, not living by sight, but living by faith. Help me to be the best me for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Well, if you prayed that prayer, and I know you did, in faith, I believe that your life will never be the same. That when you get squeezed, all that's going to come out of you is godliness, not the garbage of this world. Because that which is not of God has been removed from you, and you are now filled with all that God is. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, congratulations in living a dedicated life unto the Lord. Well, at this time, we're going to honor God with our givings, honor Him with our expressions of thanksgiving. And while we do that, I want to remind you that Saturday is Christmas Eve, and on Christmas Eve we're going to have a morning service that starts at 10 in the morning, 10 a.m. I encourage you to be there for that service, 10 a.m. on Saturday, and of course on Sunday, December the 25th, we will be here for our regular Sunday service, but it will be our Christmas service. And after the morning service, there's going to be a special presentation by our young people right after the service. But we plan to close at about the same time as we normally close, so everything is going to be more concentrate, and so that we have time for them to do their thing. And of course, Wednesday and Friday Bible study, and or Wednesday Bible study and Friday prayer meeting, that continues. We're not going to stop any of that for this week. And then on New Year's Eve, and that is very important, I want to encourage you not to miss it. Be here for the New Year's Eve service. That's going to start at 9 p.m. New Year's Eve. And that service, there are going to be things that you've never seen happen in this house before, that you don't want to be told about. You want to be here when it's happening. Amen? So I encourage you to do everything to be here. This is the place you should be. I know you're not going to be in a bar or whatever, and none of that nonsense.
But don't just sit at home and watch it online. Be here. Praise the Lord. Where are you going to be New Year's Eve? At what time? 9 p.m. You don't, believe me, you don't want to miss it. You don't want somebody to tell you, oh, wow, look at what happened. No, none of that. You want to hear the fresh word, and you want to see what God is saying and doing. Something I want to show you that day. And it will be the first time that you're going to see it. It's going to be the first time that I get to see it. We get to see it together. Amen? Hallelujah. I might see it a few hours before you, but but you want to be part of it. Amen? And yeah, it's what I will travel for miles to go be part of. Because there's a good chance, there is an absolutely good chance that what I'm about to show to you that day I don't know if there is any other one but one in the planet. I don't know. I've never heard. See, you're going to see something for the first time. I'm not overselling it, but you just need to be here. All right? Praise the Lord. God bless you. I love you. Did we do offering time? Okay. And so rise with me. Father, I bless your sons and your daughters, these ones that have made time to be here. They went through this cold weather to be in your house tonight. Reward them for the steps of faith they have taken. And help every one of us to be fully engaged, fully dedicated to your purposes all of our days. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. Enjoy the goodness of the Lord, and I'll see you on Wednesday and Friday. Praise God. Good night. Well, let me go to our people on Zoom. I see that beautiful fan, but I don't